This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Tough one last night for the Wahoos. Chris Graham here on Street Knowledge. Thanks for joining us on the show. Yeah, last night, late night, so didn't do record a podcast right after the game. But, you know, chance now on Sunday after things have kind of sunk in a bit to let's re-examine UVA 66-65 loss to Duke. Tough loss, obviously, for the Wahoos. Two straight this week, Florida State, Duke. This team came into the week 15-3 on a high, 11-1 in the ACC, now two straight losses. And reeling a bit, let's just say. I mean, it's a one-point loss if that last shot goes in. That's 2 1-point losses for this team this year where Virginia had the last shot. Things are very different, obviously, if they make those last shots. Sam Hauser missed the last shot against San Francisco way back when. T.A. Clark barely got a shot off last night. And let's talk about that part of it first, you know, as we're breaking this game down. I saw quite a bit of chatter, at least some chatter, about the in-game there. Missed free throw, DJ Stewart, 9 seconds to go, missed the front end of a 1-1, Duke up one. And Virginia elected not to call a timeout. And folks were wondering why Tony Bennett didn't call a timeout. I wasn't surprised. And in fact, after the game, he addressed that, that if you remember, there was a missed shot by Kia Clark, 14 seconds to go, loose ball scramble, ends up with Duke getting possession after a held ball. Like Casey Morsell was trying to call timeout, not granted it. And so Duke has the ball. Virginia has to foul twice. They had only had 5 fouls by that point and foul twice quickly, sends Stewart to the line. Tony Bennett called timeout before the first of the 2 fouls. And my presumption was, based on what we saw out of Virginia last year, and Tony last year, there were 2 similar in-game situations. One was North Carolina, and that's the one that I referenced in a column I wrote last night. You think back to last year, Chapel Hill, in February, Tony called timeout, 10 seconds left. Virginia had fouled. In fact, it was Tomas Watatensai fouled. Christian Keeling on a 3-point shot, Virginia up 2. Keeling made the first 2 free throws, and Tony called timeout before the third. And you know, I'm sure the thought was when we're watching it live, you're thinking, hey, he's probably doing this to ice the shooter. And he probably was a little bit of element of that, but also an idea there to set up a play. And if Roy Williams didn't have his guys in, he wanted in. I mean, obviously after a third made free throw, he could have, you know, used that to get a different rebounder or, you know, different defensive player, whatever the case may be. You know, call your play in the timeout before the free throw, and then kind of scramble from there. Don't allow Carolina, don't give Carolina 3 more minutes to set up what they want to do defensively, maybe change personnel, whatever the case may be. And so, Virginia, you know, got the, after Keeling made a free throw, get the ball down the court, Kihei Clark drives the lane, kicks out to Watatensai for a 3, you know, in the corner right in front of the Virginia bench, splash, game over. And then there was a similar situation. I didn't write about this in my column last night, but Virginia Tech game, similar. That game actually was tied after a couple of free throws, and Kia Clark then drove down, hit a 3-pointer. That was the dagger and a Virginia win. So similar, though, you know, call the timeout before the free throw is attempted even. And in cases last year, they were both made. But the play was called, you know, during the timeout before any of that happened. So as not to allow the opponent to reconfigure and prepare for whatever may be coming. And you know, I saw at least some speculation, gosh, maybe Tony didn't call timeout because he's afraid he can't outdraw Mike Krzyzewski in terms of play calling. No, I think this is an example of Tony, you know, he directed his troops before, and that's actually pretty smart. Of course, it worked out to Duke's benefit in the sense that Virginia didn't get the shot off. But that wasn't a strategy problem. It was an execution problem. And that just happens sometimes. You know, Tony said after the game that, you know, there are times he said, if they miss it, attack, get to the rim. Virginia was in the bonus, and he was hoping that they could either get in the lane, kind of like in the Watatensai game-winning example in Chapel Hill last year. Getting a lane, if Duke fouls, you know, getting into the lane, you got Kia Clark at the line, 80% plus shooter to the line. If they don't, maybe he gets the rim. If he doesn't get to the rim, he kicks back out. He's got 3 3-point shooters. And you know, flip it to Sam, flip it to Jay, flip it to Trey. And what turned out was, I don't know what happened with Kihei. Kihei is normally more stout in these kind of situations. He kind of got caught up trying, almost like he was playing like Virginia was down three, almost like he needed to get a three off. And he let himself get caught up on a switch. Matthew Hurt ends up on him. That's perfect. That's exactly what you draw up. You want the bigger, slower defender on your point guard, get around him, and then, you know, help pass to come. If it doesn't come, you get a layup. If it comes, you kick out. And instead, Kihei, you know, tried to put himself in position for a three, and that gave the, you know, advantage to Hurt, who partially blocked the shot at the buzzer. So, no, that wasn't bad strategy. It was just, unfortunately, bad execution. And sometimes that happens, you know. And you know, Kihei Clark has been a reason this week that Virginia was even able to, you know, the reason they came back in the Florida State game briefly. Last night, not great stats, 15 points on 5 of 15 shooting, just 2 assists. He can't throw the ball to himself, catch it, and shoot it, and unfortunately, just 5 of 15 from the floor. But there were some assists that would have been assists if they make the shot. Just happens sometimes. You know, a big part of this game was, it was interesting. You know, I pointed out that the score was 66-65. That doesn't scream NBA at all, except for maybe NBA halftime, and that might be low for some games at halftime. But the shot making last night was NBA level. There's some guys on that floor last night. They're NBA guys, no question about it. Matthew Hurt, we mentioned him. 8 of 13 from the floor, 5 of 8 from 3, 22 points. Seemed like I'm surprised he missed 5 shots. It didn't seem like he missed 5 shots. Sam Hauser, 7 of 11 from the floor, 3 of 5 from 3. Missed a 3 late. You know, that's part of it. what's interesting, so Duke was 9 of 23 from 3. It felt like, again, they felt like they were better than that. They were 10 of 18 on two-point jumpers. The two-point jumper is a lost art in 2021 basketball, college or pro. You either shoot threes or you get in the lane, you get to the rim, get fouled, whatever. But the mid-range jumper is not something that's really something that you do a lot of, and you don't shoot great on them when you do. Duke was 39.8% on two-point jumpers coming into the game last night. They shot 10 of 18. That's 55.5%. Virginia was just as good. I mean, 5 of 11 from 3, so not a volume, but 45.5%. They came in leading the ACC in three-point shooting, and that they'll improve upon that. The volume was an issue. Virginia was averaging 22.5 three attempts a game coming in. They only shot 11 last night. Virginia, 29 two-point jumpers, 14 of 29. 48.3%, a team that Virginia actually shoots pretty well from two. For 44.5% on two-point jumpers is a good number. That might not sound good, but, you know, threes are shots you normally shoot in rhythm. You're going towards the basket. I mean, that's why you're – and plus they're worth three instead of two. Two-point jumpers usually are kind of things you're forced to shoot. There's a hand in your face because you're closer to the rim. Virginia, though, yeah, pretty good. Now, they shot 29. They'd only been averaging 13 two-point attempts coming in. Says something right there. They had to shoot 29. They made shots, but they had to shoot a lot of two-point jumpers. Duke was right on average, actually just a little bit above. They shot 18, made 10. They were averaging 14.5 attempts a game from two. So I guess my point is there, both teams were making jumpers. It was fine. Virginia was 7 of 10 at the rim. Virginia was 7 of 12 at the rim. Duke was 7 of 10 at the rim. Not a lot of attempts at the rim. Virginia only shot 11 threes. A lot of two-point jumpers and a lot of makes. It was NBA level in that sense. And then here's another way this game was NBA level. All those makes, and it just felt like, again, even though – because the tempo was slower. It was a 61-possession game. So that's why the score was 66-65. So all the makes, it just felt like, man, you know, Hurt would make a shot. Howes would make a shot. Huff would dunk it usually because there were a lot – he was at the rim a lot. And then nothing, literally, in the last minute 59. Virginia didn't score for the last 3:09 and only had – I think their last made basket was just under 4 minutes to go. 2 free throws by J-Huff, 3:09 to go, and that was it. So just like an NBA game, you know, okay, a lot of makes, and then now it's time to play defense. that's, you know, that's not the way Virginia normally plays. They play better defense in the second half. Duke shot, Virginia shot 60% in the first half and was down by three at halftime. Both teams played better D in the second half. Virginia got in Hurt's face a good bit. He was 4 of 5 from three in the first half. And those were all the shots he put up. He's 4 of 8 in the second half. unfortunately, two of his misses ended up offensive rebounds by Henry Coleman, of all people, a guy Virginia had recruited and flailed on. And he made the stickbacks. So Virginia normally, you know, it's an example of why you got to play 40 minutes of basketball. Virginia didn't play 40 minutes last night. It's been a problem in their losses. They haven't played 40 minutes. You think about the San Francisco game. Great first half defensively, 40 points second half, lose the game by a point. Let's see, Gonzaga, they didn't play either half of that game, unfortunately, defensively. The Florida State game, except for a 7-minute stretch of the second half, Virginia was dominated in that game. Virginia played pretty well for 30 minutes, and in the last 10 didn't play well. And then this one. It's almost like it's a miracle that this game came down to a last shot. Duke thoroughly outplayed Virginia, and Virginia lost by a point and had the last shot. So, but then reality kind of kicks in. You know, I've been the guy. I try to see. I mean, this is just my nature. I see the glass. I don't even see it half full. If it's half full, I'm telling you it's 2/3 full. If it's 2/3 full, I'm telling you it's overflowing. That's just my nature. I mean, I'm a very positive person in that respect. I always see things better than they probably are. Nature of my background. You grew up with nothing. you pretend like you got something. So. So I've been the guy telling you after losses, okay, that, you know, it's okay. Virginia's going to learn. It'll be all right. maybe it's been fighting a cold the last few days. Maybe I'm in a different place, but, man, you know, it's starting to wear on me. This team, this Virginia team is good. I don't know that it's great. And I hate to say that because, you know, the talent is the individual talent is amazing. Jay Huff, to me, is, I don't think there's a question. You heard on the ESPN broadcast, like, is he an NBA player? There's any question. A 7-1 guy who can shoot threes, get into the lane like he can, block shots like he can, he's an NBA player. Sam Hauser, I think he's an NBA rotation guy. I see a taller Pat Connaughton in him. I think Trey Murphy only shot twice. I only had two shot attempts last night. Makes no sense. Skill-wise, 6'9", three-point shooter, athletic as heck. He's an NBA player. K.A. Clark's going to make money probably overseas. He might bang his head in the G League for a year or two before he realizes you can make more money in Europe. You know, there's guys. There's guys on this team. I don't know that the chemistry or the alchemy, I mean, chemistry is not the thing. Chemistry is, I think it seems like they work together fine. It's the alchemy of this team. It's not a Tony Bennett vintage type team. You know, your best three offensive players who have to be on the floor are not great defensive players. I mean, I talk about Jay Huff, he can block shots. He's a weak side shot blocker. He's not a great shutdown one-on-one defender. Sam Hauser tries really hard. Last night you saw it, Hurt ate him up. It's nothing against Sam Hauser. That's not his forte. Murphy, I don't understand. He's athletically, you know, I think eventually he'll be a, you know, if he stays next year for his last year of eligibility, I think he's got a potential to grow in his system, but he's maybe partly for him and maybe partly for Hauser too. It's just, you know, the fact that they only have 1 year in the system and it's been a year with all this weirdness of not being able to practice as much. You know, getting those reps in practice and that kind of thing. But that said, your three best offensive players are average defenders, in my opinion. I know, you know, I'm causing controversy there because I'm sure there'll be someone who'll point out Jay Huff's defensive ratings, et cetera, et cetera. I'm fine with, you know, I understand. I'm a metrics guy too. But those metrics, you know, I don't know that they take into account one-on-one defense is, you know, certainly he blocks a lot of shots. He had 12 rebounds last night. I'm not casting aspersions at Jay Huff, but, you know, one-on-one defense. No, I don't know that he's a great one-on-one defender, great help defender, but I don't know he's a one-on-one defender. And So when you have to play those guys, and you, and also the offense, because those guys, their, you know, their strengths are outside in, and they're the three biggest guys on the floor. You know, it makes it so, and in the mover blocker offense, Tony Bennett's preferred offense, the fours and fives are supposed to be setting screens for guards. Well, the two worst shooters on the floor are your two guards. It's not like there's, you know, Kyle Guy running off a screen, or Ty Jerome running off a screen, DeAndre Hunter running off a screen. You've got Reese Beekman shooting 31% from three. He's only made eight threes all year. And Kia Clark is not afraid to shoot it, but he's also a 30% range three-point shooter on the season. And so, you know, that you got those guys running off screens being set by guys who are, should be the guys who are shooting. So they're having to pop. It's just, it's easier to bog that down. And it's been the case. Virginia runs better offensively when they don't use the mover blocker offense that Tony prefers, but Tony still goes back to the base offense an awful lot. And, you know, when he gets away from it, goes five high, goes with that, you know, the triangle type offense. You saw some, haven't seen it for a while now, where either Sam Hauser's in the post or even Kia Clark's in the post on the opposite side. You got Jay Huff triggering from the top of the key, seeing over top of the defense, you know, and make the defense commit to either Hauser in the post, Kia Clark, who's quick in the post. He's certainly, he's 5'9", but he's, you know, he's quick in the post and can penetrate from there. And then if you've got Hauser and Murphy set up, I mean, those plays work, but I haven't seen as much of that lately for some reason. I don't know why. The five high, it seems like Tony only goes to it in situations. And he's the mover blockers getting balled. So, you know, I think that the offense has potential. It should not. I mean, it's 12th in the country, and there are 357 teams in the country. 12th in the country, KenPom.com. So, wow, only 12th. You know, that's top 3%. If I'm doing my math on that right, top 3% in the country, roughly 3.5%. But it should be better than that. The defense is 24th. That's top 6%. I mean, again, you know, 357 teams, you're 24th in the country, but we're talking about a good team, a great team. I mean, and honestly, I mean, I've run the math on this and I've written columns on this. I mean, you know, the 18 national champions of the KenPom.com era, Virginia's profile fits within those champions. No one was ranked below 37th in either the offensive or defensive categories among those 18 champions. Virginia, the 2019 champions, actually one of the two, along with Kansas, I think it was 2006. This is just from memory. Those two were the two best. They were both top five offense and defense. The only two of that era that were of this era that were top five efficiency offense and defense. But the rest were, you know, it's so the point of that exercise when I did that research was to say, you have to be balanced. You can't be great offensively and average defensively. Average would be 180th, right? I mean, Virginia last year, think about last year's team. That Virginia team was 15-5 in the ACC, won 11 of its last 12 games, was 234th in the nation in adjusted offensive efficiency. Not 34th, 234th in the nation. And that record, I mean, that was a better coaching job than when Tony won the championship a year before. To coax 23 wins out of that team last year was an amazing job. But, you know, this team has much more at its disposal. This team, last year's team did not have Sam Hauser and Trey Murphy. Last year's team didn't have Reese Beekman. Last year's team was Kia Clark, Jay Huff, who's not the Jay Huff of this year, and a supporting cast. This year, you got, you know, Jay Huff at NBA level. I think Kia Clark, his numbers are down, but he's playing better. He's more efficient. And then you've got Hauser. Then you've got Murphy. Adding what they add, this is a order of magnitude more talented team. And is not playing, in my opinion, not playing as well. They're not getting as much out of what they had as last year's team did. And we're getting to the point in this season. I mean, it's February. What's today? February 21st. We're getting to the point in this season where there's not a lot more time to start, you know, to figure the stuff out. You know, you kind of are. You're not quite, but you're just about what you are. And because, you know, 2 years ago, we were getting a feel for that team that became a championship team. That was a pretty good team. You knew that by this point already then. This is a good team. This year's 2021 team is a good team. But, you know, he came into the season, preseason number four, ACC favorite. They still might win the ACC right now. Percentage points behind, you know, eight games over 500, Florida State seven over. So there's a little bit of a split there. But so this team may still win the ACC. Very well, I think probably will still win the ACC regular season. And I still think it's one of those teams. It's on the short list of teams that can win six in a row in March and into April. I also think it's a team that can lose its first game in March, because on any given night, you know, it just seems like for whatever reason, this team can have a collective brain fart for 20 minutes and break down defensively. And for whatever, you know, whether it's because Tony is, you know, doggedly sticking with the mover blocker as the primary offense or what, the offense isn't enough to overcome the defense's deficiencies when they don't play as hard as they can. This team has not learned what previous Tony Bennett teams seem to know from the get-go. And I think it's probably an issue. It seems to me very clearly an issue of the weirdness of this season, you know, not having the more consistent practice time. I mean, obviously because of contact tracing, the guys aren't as, they can't be as tight as they normally could be, you know, because you don't, if one guy gets COVID, you know, the whole team's out if everybody's hanging out together all the time. So, you know, there's not going to be, not just Virginia's team, every team, you can't be as close this year as you normally would be. So, but for whatever reason, yeah, it's not as cohesive. Again, that's across the board. It's not just Virginia, but you know, this team, I think, because of the injection of new guys, three of the five starters are first year guys with Virginia. At least Sam Hauser was here last year, but he was on the scout team. Reese Beekman's a freshman, talented guy, but he's a freshman. He was playing high school basketball this time last year. Trey Murphy III was playing at Rice this time last year. You know, they don't have the reps in the system. They don't have the longevity, continuity with their teammates. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's opportunities are starting to run short to build that cohesiveness. And I don't know that you're going to get there. And last night was the first night I kind of saw that, because again, I'm the guy who sees, you know, the half full glass, almost full. I'm going to up it now. It is kind of what it is as far as that goes. And so we're hopeful. We're certainly hopeful that, you know, things will improve, but, you know, the opportunity is definitely running short. So, so let's look forward to this week. I'm recording this on Sunday. Coming up tomorrow, Tony Bennett will talk on his ACC teleconference. We'll have some stories out of that. You know, his day after thoughts too, or 2 days after thoughts after Duke, and then looking ahead to NC State Wednesday night. We'll have a preview of NC State. We've already played them once, so we kind of know. We'll visit NC State. We'll do our What UVA Basketball Fans Need to Know About column. This will be more the What UVA Basketball Fans Need to Remember column, because of the fact we've already played it just a couple weeks ago. Then we'll see what else we can get into from a sports standpoint. UVA baseball plays VMI on Tuesday. I'm in a good place with that one. You know, we cover UVA baseball. I'm also a broadcaster who broadcasts about, you know, 15, 20 VMI baseball games a year, VMI baseball games a year. I will not be on hand for Tuesday's game. In that respect, the game's at Charlottesville. So, ACC Network will be having that one, but we'll still be with great interest watching that. I'll be watching it as much to learn about my VMI team that I'll be calling this year as anything else. So looking forward to that one. Well, thanks for your time, as always, here on our show. And look forward to talking some more this week as we get closer to NC State. We'll also talk with Rod Mullins this week about NASCAR. We'll talk politics. We'll do a little bit of everything on the podcast. Thanks for your time today, as always, and we'll talk to you again soon.